Well, we're going to get started this morning, and as we do, we're going to continue in this walk it out theme. We want to walk our faith out. Amen? We want to walk our faith out. And so we're going to start with His voice this year. So we're in our series of His voice, and our goal is that we would hear the voice of God and that we would follow what He asks us to do. Amen? All right, so look at your neighbor and say, start listening to His voice. If you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word, we're going to read just one verse of scripture. Dallas, if you can go down to verse 10, we're going to read one verse of scripture before we get started. And Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we have an opportunity, Lord, to hear from your word today. That we can hear from you and know, God, that you are a God who seeks to save us. Father, there's many of us here this morning. There's various different situations that we find ourselves in. Some of us, Lord, are believers and followers of you. And we were like Zacchaeus, and we have a testimony of a life change. Lord, there's some here today that has not committed their life to you. They've not surrendered to you as Lord. And Father, we pray that you would speak to them today, and Lord, as you did Zacchaeus, and that you would bring a change to them. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Huh? Thank you, John. All right, you may be seated. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 is where we hear the story of Zacchaeus, and we're going to notice some things as we go through the story and break it down. We're going to pause and just kind of talk through this and look at it and see what's going on. In Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 1, it says, "He entered Jericho and was passing through." The "he" there is Jesus. He entered Jericho and he was passing through. How many of y'all realize that Jesus is passing through today? He's passing through. He's passing through there. Here's the neat thing about this story about Zacchaeus. We know the whole story because we've looked at it and we know it. We know that Zacchaeus climbed up in a tree and he was looking to see Jesus. We know that. But before he ever climbed up that tree, guess who was seeking him first? Jesus. I don't think it was an accident that Jesus was passing through Jericho. I don't think there is an accident. I think there's always appointments. And I think it's no accident that you're here this morning. I think that God knew exactly who was going to be here, and some of you need to hear this message in a mighty way, in a saving way, and some of you need to hear this message in an encouraging, motivating, instructional way. And so this morning, as we go through this story that really happened, that it was a man named Zacchaeus that really lived and his life was really changed, my prayer is that as Jesus passes through, as he passes through the aisles here in the church and he speaks to your heart, that you'll listen. Because he is the one who seeks and saves the lost. Aren't you glad of that? You see, the only reason why we love him is because he first loved us. The Bible tells us we love him because he first loved us. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that we have a Savior today that will seek us out to save us from our sin? Can anybody say amen to that? And so he is coming through Jericho. He's passing through. And behold, there is a man named Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax collector and was rich. This is setting us up to tell us a little bit about who Zacchaeus is. He's a rich, wealthy man. And the way that he got his wealth was through siding with the Roman government. And so he was disliked from his fellow countrymen. The fellow Jewish people did not like Zacchaeus. Why? Because he worked for Rome and he was the tax collector. He worked for the IRS. They're well-beloved people. And so he worked for them. And what Rome said was that you must get this percentage of tax from your people. That's your job. You must get this percentage of tax. Anything you can get above that, you can keep. So, what does the mind start thinking? I'm not just going to charge what Rome asked. I'm going to get more out of my people, and I'm going to get wealthy off of them. And so Zacchaeus would go, and he would collect taxes, and he was ripping off his own fellow Jewish people. And they did not like it. Okay? And so he had a lot of money. He had he was locked by the Romans, but not by his own people. Now, in the story, we see that just because Zacchaeus had a lot of wealth and he had the two hump camels, right? And because he had a lot of things, if you were to look at Zacchaeus' life, you'd think, man, this guy's got it all together. He's got everything. He's living the dream. He's got the nice house. He's got the nice car. He's got the nice everything. He's got it made, but there's something not fulfilling in his life. There's still something missing. How many of y'all know that no matter what socioeconomic situation you find yourself in, or no matter where you are, no matter what nationality, no matter where you live, until you meet Jesus, there is an emptiness that only he can fill. And so what we got to be aware of is that that people around us, and some of you even here this morning, on the outside, it may appear that you've got it all together. It may appear that, you know, your portfolio is well laid out and that your plan for retirement is there and solid. But there's something inside of you that you know there's no real joy. This was Zacchaeus. He had no real joy. And so so he was seeking, verse 3 it says, he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. Now, when it says that he was trying to see who Jesus was, this doesn't mean that Zacchaeus was just interested in seeing what Jesus looked like. He was like, oh, I've heard about Jesus, and I'd like to know what this guy looks like, you know, because he sounds like a pretty cool guy. It means that he wanted to meet Jesus. He wanted to have an encounter with Jesus. He wasn't just worried about what he looked like. He wanted to meet Jesus, but he couldn't because of the crowd. Now, let's just pause right here and let's just talk to us as a church and as Christians that we never want to be a crowd that keeps people from seeing Jesus. Amen? We never want to hinder people from seeing Jesus. We don't want our life, we don't want our way of behaving to hinder people seeing the correct view of who Jesus is, right? And so the church always has to be a place where someone like Zacchaeus can come in and hear the gospel, hear the singing, hear the preaching, and hear the voice of God say, hey, come down. Amen? So we don't want to hinder by our life, by our behavior, by our actions, by our attitudes. We don't want to hinder people from coming to Jesus. Make sense? It's not just the church that's a hindrance, but there's a lot of hindrances out there. A lot of other groups, a lot of social groups, a lot of political groups, they don't want people to meet Jesus either, do they? And so there's a lot of hindrances around about trying to see who Jesus is. Our culture doesn't want people to see who Jesus is. Hollywood does not want us to see who Jesus really is. So there's a lot of groups and organizations that also block people from seeing who Jesus is. Now, here's the other thing. Those of you who are not believers, you cannot allow your limitations to hinder you from doing all you need to do to see Jesus. Can't use your limitations as an excuse. See, he was short in stature. And so he knew Jesus was coming back that way. And there was something that he did. And look in verse 4. So he ran ahead and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. For he was about to pass that way. So he knew Jesus was coming that way. Instead of sitting there saying, well, you know what? I'm short. I'll never see Jesus. He did something about it, didn't he? Now, remember last week we talked about that this year we're going to emphasize taking responsibility for our own actions, for our own situations. You see, God is sovereign. He is. He rules over all. But he also expects us to do an action. And so when we see Jesus passing through, we see Jesus' activity, but we're also going to see Zacchaeus' activity as well. Zacchaeus, if he wanted to, he could have blamed his circumstance around him. He could have blamed his limitation. He could have said, you know what? I'm short. I'll never see Jesus. You know, we can play the blame game, can't we, in life? Well, I wasn't born in the right family, or I didn't have this, or I don't have that, or you know, or I'm born this way, or I'm born with this and that. He could have used whatever excuse he wanted to, but he didn't. Instead, what did he do? He climbed up the tree. He climbed up that tree. Whatever you need to get behind you, get behind you. You see, this was very humbling for Zacchaeus. He was a wealthy man. For him to run ahead and climb up a tree, Zacchaeus had to humble himself. This isn't what a wealthy guy did, go up and hide and climb up in a tree to see somebody. Okay? So let me ask you this. If you're not a believer, what's your excuse? Why have you not responded to Jesus? What are you letting crowd you out? Because you see, on the flip side of the church not being a crowd that hinders people from Jesus, you can't use that as an excuse. I hear it all the time. You know, well, the church is this and the church is that, and I don't do this. I don't believe this because of the church. And the church gets knocked around, and it gets used as an excuse for people not coming to Jesus. Agree? Y'all hear that? Well, Zacchaeus could have used that same excuse. Well, you know, the crowd always blocking me. I'm short. I'm standing on my tippy toes, and I can't see, you know, and nobody will bend down and let me see. He could have used all those excuses, but he didn't. He climbed up the tree so that he could see. So here's what I would tell you today. Do whatever you need to do to see Jesus, no matter what it is. Don't use excuses to keep you down in the crowd. Climb up and see. What do you think? So he climbs up the tree because he knows Jesus is passing that way. Now let's look what happens. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Now, I'm sure this shocked Zacchaeus, right? For one, here is Jesus calling him out by name. And so how did he know Zacchaeus' name, you know? Couple ways he could have known. He could have known it just by his sovereign power, you know, just like he called Nathanael out before he met him. Or maybe there was word on the street about a man named Zacchaeus who was a short dude that nobody liked. So he could have just knew him by his reputation. And so what happens is Jesus comes by. He knows exactly where Zacchaeus is, and he says, Zacchaeus, you need to come down. Aren't you glad that when Jesus calls us, he calls us by name? He knows you. He knows you. Now, when Jesus calls you, what will you do? When he calls you to come down out of the tree, what are you going to do? You just going to sit up there? Because Zacchaeus had a choice right here, didn't he? He could have stayed up in that tree and said, I don't know. It's pretty good up here in this tree. Got a bunch of leaves up here. It's pretty shady. I'm comfortable with my tree. I'm comfortable here. I don't want to change. I don't want anything to change in my life. I'll just stay right here. I'm fine with looking at Jesus at a distance. I'm fine with just seeing Jesus, but never meeting Jesus. There's a difference. There's a difference. You can know all about Jesus and have all of the correct Sunday school answers and split hell wide open. Because I was almost there. I was one of those church folks, grew up in church, that made a profession when I was little and went forward and repeated a prayer and got dunked but never knew Jesus. And some of you are up in a tree right now and he's calling you and you've got a decision to make. You can either sit there and say, you know what, I'm going to hang on to my tree. I'm going to hang on to my limb for whatever reason it might be. Maybe it's, you love your sin. Maybe you love your pleasure. Maybe you love your anger. Maybe you love your, whatever it is that you just hold on to, you're not willing to release to, you just hold on to it. Maybe you just want to stay up there. But when Jesus passes through and calls your name, the correct response is to come down. He says, Zacchaeus, you need to come down because I must stay at your house today. Now watch what Zacchaeus does. Look, this is be my prayer for everyone here today. Look at verse 6. So he what? So he hurried and he came down and received him joyfully. This was the best news that Zacchaeus had heard. He says, Zacchaeus, I want to stay at your house. Me? My house? Do you know who I am? He hurries and comes down and receives Jesus with great joy. Do you remember the day, Christian, when you received Jesus as Lord and Savior, when he became Lord, how much joy filled your soul? I mean, it is the life-changing experience that only God can bring. He came down joyfully and he experienced salvation today. And then the next verse comes. Let's don't be this group. Ready? And when they saw it, they what? They grumbled. He's gone to be the guest of a man who's a sinner. Doesn't he know what kind of person Zacchaeus is? He's supposed to hang out with us, not them. Do you believe that God can save any sinner? He can save any sinner. He can save us from our sin. He can deliver us. Never think that someone is unredeemable. Because God can redeem the lost. Zacchaeus was a guy that they said, you shouldn't be hanging out with Jesus. You should be hanging around with us. Do you realize that Jesus just doesn't show up in our Bible study, but he also goes along the hedges and the highways and the byways, and he looks for the lame, the poor, the sick, and the disabled, those who are hurting and crying in desperation, those who are scarred with sin. And he calls them to come to him. And what Jesus does is when he calls people to come to him, he calls them to a new life and to a change that's going to transform them forever. He doesn't call them to stay up in the tree. He didn't say, hey, Zacchaeus, hey, by the way, I want you to know, if that's your safe place, you just stay right there. I don't want to interfere with your life. You know, just believe in me. You'd keep doing your own thing, and we're good. See ya. That's not what he did. And that's not what he does today. He calls us to come out of the tree to live a new life. And guess what happened to Zacchaeus? He got it. He knew it. He met Jesus. He just didn't read about Jesus. He didn't just hear about Jesus. He had a life-changing encounter with Jesus. How do we know this? Well, when Zacchaeus came down, it says that Zacchaeus stood and he said to the Lord, he said, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I'll restore it fourfold. What do you call that? You call that repentance and a changed life right there. I mean, especially when we're talking about money, if God saves your wallet, you're saved. Right? Because still today, some of us might not be as rich as what Zacchaeus was, but our God is right here. That's our God. And when Jesus calls us to a life change, he calls us out of our sin and into his righteousness. You see, Zacchaeus' God was his wealth. And so what Zacchaeus showed was that God no longer reigns over me anymore. I have a new God. I have a new Savior. I will do what you've called me to do in your law. And I will give half my possessions away to the poor, and I will pay back those that I have cheated fourfold. You see, Jesus calls us to repent of our sin, not revel in our sin. Every time, mark it down, read the Bible. You got to read the Bible to understand the Bible. Read the Bible, and every time Jesus has an encounter with someone, he will love them where they are so they will connect with him and be changed. And he'll say, go sin no more. Mark it down. Jesus calls us out of our sin into a new life. Aren't you glad of that? Because here's the deal. The new life is so much better than the old life. Now here's what you can do. You can stay up in your tree if you want to. And you can hold on to your bitterness. You can hold on to your anger. You can hold on to your unforgiveness. You can hold on to your sexual sin. You can hold on to your greed. You can hold on to your whatever. You can hold on to your money. You can hold on to whatever that has become the god of your life. And you can just sit there and stay up in that tree. Or you can come down out of that tree, meet Jesus, and be forever changed. What do you think? Jesus says, today, salvation has come to your house. To this house. Why? Because he too is the son of Abraham. Now, he was a son of Abraham by physical descent, but he's also now a son of Abraham through a spiritual descent. You see, there's now no more Jews and Gentiles. We're all one. And the Bible says that anyone who is of faith is a son of Abraham. So guess what? Those of you who are believers in Jesus, you're a son of Abraham. And he says, today salvation has come to your house. It's important to know that as we go, right? Because every January when we reemphasize what we're about, we want to stress our mission. And the first thing is that we go and invite people to who? Jesus. So Jesus, he's always going. Read the Bible, especially if you read Mark. Mark, man, it's like action. It's like he's going and this and that. He's going. And Mark's, Jesus is always on the go. And why is he always on the go? Well, not verse 10. 19 verse 10. Jesus came, what? To seek and to save who? The lost. Now, here's the deal. We can stay in that tree and hold on. Because Lord knows I did this for about 3 years. For 3 years, I would be in church service. And the preacher would preach. And then they'd give an invitation. In our church, we had pews. And I would hold that pew in front of me with a death grip. And I'd say, not going. And in my mind, I'd be saying, if I can just hold on until we sing the first, second, and fourth verse of this hymn, I'll be okay. And I'd just try to hold on. And boy, I'd make it too. And I'd be proud of myself. Woo! Got by another one. And then the Holy Spirit would start knocking. And the voice of God would start speaking, saying, Grant, you know about me, but you don't know me. You know a lot about me, but you don't know me. And I would put it away, and I would resist, and I would hang on to my limb. I would hang on to my limb, but the wind of the Holy Spirit would start blowing, and I'd start getting shook, and I would just hold on tighter. I didn't want to let go. I didn't want to let go. I did that for 3 years. And finally, my youth group leaders was teaching us how to share our faith in a youth group lesson. And the Spirit of God just pounced on my heart's door. And he said, Grant, he said, you do not know me. You know about me. And I looked at my friend. I said, I don't know about you. I said, I need to be saved. And that night, I came out of my tree. And I went running to Jesus. And I just didn't see him this time. I truly met him, and he saved my life, and he changed me. And the joy of the Lord flooded my heart. How many of y'all remember that? Some of you are Christians here today. You know, you remember. How many of y'all can give me a witness? Can I get a witness? Somebody say an amen to that. Amen. The joy that comes. And church, guess I don't ever want to forget what that felt like. Do you? I'm afraid that many of us, we get saved for so long, we forget what it's like to be lost. We forget about the joy of when Jesus called us out of that tree. There are friends, neighbors, loved ones, people that you work with, people that you go to school with. They are stuck up in a tree somewhere, and Jesus wants to call them down. And he wants us to go and invite people to him. What do you think? Huh? How many of y'all got some people that you know that need to be saved? Anybody? You believe Jesus can save them? Some of you are like, nah, I don't know about so-and-so. God can save anybody. I'll never forget Papaw Sparks years ago. It's Connie's. It's Michelle's grandpa. And it's Connie's dad. He's now with the Lord. But he was a mean old man. I didn't get to meet him during this time. They said he was hateful, cuss you out. Just, I mean, one of these, didn't want anybody to come around his place. And he got really bad sick, and he was in the hospital there in Richmond. And they gave him up to die like 3 or 4 different times. He'd come back out of it, and then they'd be like, nah, he's this time we don't think he's going to make it. And there would be, we would come, we'd pray for him and pray for him, and there would be other pastors coming, visiting, and praying for him and praying for him. And they called us all in. I remember it was winter because it was bad snow, and I was like, oh, I don't know, hopefully we'll make it. And we got there, and they had the family there. We were ready, you know, for him to pass on, and we were praying, and they sent us back home. And then we got news that he woke up, that he come out. And the first thing he said, he goes, I need to speak to a preacher. And he received Jesus with great joy that day. And his testimony was this. Now, those of you who have been coming around here a long time, you know me, you know what kind of preacher I am. You know I just don't say stuff to say stuff. You can ask Michelle, you can ask Mike, he's somewhere around here. Here's what he said. When he came up out of that, whatever coma, whatever he was in, he said, I saw the devil face to face. He said, you do not want to go there. And he was a radically changed man from that day on. His mouth and language changed. His heart changed. He was welcoming. And he and Connie got to spend some last few years with his dad, with her dad, that she never had gotten before. He was a changed man. You see, when Jesus calls you, he can change you. Don't ever give up on anybody. Keep praying. And those of you who do not know Jesus today, guess what? If he says come down out of that tree, guess what you need to do today? Come out of that tree. We're going to have a time of invitation. This invitation is for everyone. Believers, non-believers, Christians. If you need to pray for some friends or loved ones that are stuck in a tree that need to come down, come and pray for them. If you want to come and just give God some glory and give praise and adoration to him, use this as a time to give thanks. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe that God hears us when we pray. And if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and he speaks to you today, and he's called you by name, and he says, come down out of that tree, I want to stand right here for you to come and say, Grant, I need to be saved. I need to be changed. I want to meet Jesus today, not just seeing. Would you do that? Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that you call us out of our sin and into your righteousness. Lord, that you can change us, that we can be changed and made new. Father, that you can fill us with the joy that only you can give. That our anger can be turned into joy, and our bitterness compassion, and our unforgiveness forgiveness, and our greed generosity, and our immorality to your morality. And we can honor you by the way that we live. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, today speak, move, and Father, may we obey you today. For the man or the woman that you called out to say, come down the tree, it's time to meet me, I pray that you give them the boldness to step out and come. For those who are Christians, Lord, may we forever be grateful of your mercy and always reminded of your grace. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's respond. Let's come.